Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Aleister Black, and you're listening to The Pro Wrestling Show.
This is The Pro Wrestling Show, brought to you in association with TalkSport. Today we're going to talk about all of the developments in WWE this week. And she's facing Ronda Rousey at the Royal Rumble for the Raw Women's title. We will be speaking to Sasha Banks. This is The Pro Wrestling Show. I'm John Jackson. He's Will Gavin. In the background, and Alex McCarthy.
Yay, yay.
I love your effort, guys.
Thanks, Murdy. I didn't have the mic in my hand. I was getting up all my notes, all my extensive notes.
Will
obviously.
Sits there watching these in the middle of the night, normally while he's at work. But if anyone's listening, definitely not while he's at work. And he writes extensive notes. I've seen them. He's got notepads going back like years.
Archived.
Every Raw. Archived. Every SmackDown. And like, you know, just in-depth observations. If you ever see him, ask him about like a random Raw from 6 years ago. He'll tell you.
I wish this was true. It really isn't.
I bet it says Trips looked great.
It's all absolutely
I do. I did have like a beard envy, even though I think my beard's looking pretty good at the moment. Triple H's beard is so well groomed. It's shaped really well.
Yeah,
It's the right mix of manly and manscaped.
A good body on the beard.
He smells good as well, doesn't he?
He does.
You know,
good.
When I met him,
it's important.
It is
important. It's really important.
We talked about it when I met him, how big his fingers are.
Yeah.
Did you notice that when you were
chatting
to him?
I did, I shook his hand on Saturday, in fact, and it nearly swallowed me.
Big old finger, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, in contrast, every time I meet Finn Balor, and whenever we're there, I always go, look how small his feet are. He's always wearing Vans.
Wears Vans with any suit.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
He's
Vans all day long.
That's it. I often think, can I get away wearing like nice trainers
with
a suit? And I just thought, you have to be Finn Balor level to get away with that. You just can't do it otherwise. Job interview, nah.
Or a big guy. I see a lot of big men at like the Super Bowl and stuff like that.
They'll put on their all-white Air Force Ones and it'll look fantastic in a suit.
Exactly.
And then I do it and I just look chavvy as hell.
You just look like you were lazy. Today, you know, we're going to talk about, if you heard the show yesterday, that we put out yesterday, talking about NXT over the weekend, we spoke to all the different superstars. Well, Alex spoke to all the different superstars. If you've not heard it, give that a listen at some point. But this is mainly focused on what's happened in WWE this week. Mm-hmm. You know, Vince McMahon's turned up with the whole family and promised big changes. So far, we've seen changes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say they're big. Some things, we're getting the vibe that something's been brought back from the Attitude Era, but in a very PG way, which we'll discuss in just a second. But first of all, Will's made this really good point about the NXT talent that they've announced are going to be brought up to the main roster.
Yeah.
And you've made a really good observation here. If you've ever played 2K games, right?
Check your notes, Will.
It's very specifically 2K18 because they introduced that backstage mode where if you were doing the career mode, you had to get off in the car park and then walk through the backstage area and find a show producer and then have a natter with them about whether you were going to do a promo that night or whether you were going to have a match and, you know, which way you were going to go with it and that sort of thing. But while you were backstage, you could go and see the t-shirt designer and have a design done, or you could go and see the person who does the entrances and go into the production room and they'd set you up with stuff. And it was all very convoluted. It was an attempt to make it feel more real rather than make it feel like you were just going into a menu and doing those things. And then you'd always have just people randomly hanging around backstage, just like Daniel Bryan eating a bit of celery and like Becky Lynch in her old garb with the goggles and everything just stood in a hallway and you could go and talk to them and sometimes they'd give you like a little task to do and that would become your focus of that month. They'd want you to like attack another talent and it would become like a storyline and sometimes they'd just have a little bit of advice for you. But the way they've brought like Lacey Evans and Nikki Cross and EC3 and all these guys up is that they've had this whole idea of like, having them just hanging around backstage in character. So like EC3 looking into a mirror and doing all sorts of little cheesy
the Fonz
lines.
Thing. Joey Tribbiani, like, how are you doing?
Nikki Cross, like, there was one point...
In a cage!
Because she debuted on SmackDown, was great on SmackDown.
No, on Raw, she was on Raw.
On Raw, sorry. Yeah. She debuted on Raw in that women's... that six-woman tag match.
Yeah.
She was great. Came across really well. I think anyone who wasn't aware of the NXT brand will have really liked the idea. And then on SmackDown, she was randomly just behind a chain link fence as somebody walked by.
But that's what she does, Will.
I don't think that is Alex. That's who she is. I've been trained to believe. I watched Raw in a hotel with my friend Ryan, who's got an interest in wrestling, but he's the most like cynical person. And he said to me, well, I see what they're trying to do here. I get that she's mentally unstable, but if she's capable of having a wrestling match and at least getting to herself on the into the arena on time, then I don't think she's that unstable. They should have her like dragged in and like let out of a cage, and then the next night she's actually in a cage. Yeah, and I'm like, maybe he's got a point.
Yeah, maybe he knew her along. I mean, to me, I've read rumblings that the brand split is going to be no more post WrestleMania, and this is maybe like a semblance of that coming to fruition, because they're not committing any of them to either brand. You know, Cena has that luxury. Weirdly, if you go on Wikipedia, Kane has that luxury. He can go where he wants. But
the mayor goes where he wants.
That there, Glenn Jacobs, he goes where he wants.
That seems to be what they're looking for. That now that, you know, whether they're attributing that to be an element of surprise, I don't know. I mean, it's not my idea of surprise.
Like, I think the only people that have come out of it well, by the way, when Nikki Cross came out on Raw, I was assuming that Lacey Evans?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my mind's gone. I was expecting it to be her. It would fit more in with Sasha Banks and Bayley, but then it was Nikki Cross, and it was a bit weird. But I think the only people that have come out of it well is Heavy Machinery, because at least they've been funny.
Yeah.
I mean, also, women's tag team titles were unveiled in one of the weirdest segments I've seen on Raw, where Alexa Bliss comes out and she's talking to Paul Heyman. Great. They unveil the tag team titles.
I like the belts, by the way.
I like the belts.
They're not my favourite belts. They are not as nice as the NXT UK belts. But they haven't just gone, let's take the men's design and put a white strap on it.
Yes.
Which is exactly what I wanted to not happen. And I like that they've done like the Elimination Chamber style outsides to indicate where it's first going to be held and all that stuff.
Very smart. I was a big fan. But she unveiled them with Paul Heyman then coming out. Then they talked about the title match with Brock, where they'd sold that. And then your man from Heavy Machinery turned up.
Yeah.
And it's like, what, you know, like, what's the focus here
what
in this
he
segment?
Do? Like, he like drooled
over the
titles.
He just turned up like
he
was just kind of there, like, doesn't, like, he's a bit, like, off his rocker. And then his mate pulled him off. So I pulled him away. He didn't pull him up. His mate pulled him away. And it's kind of like, what, I don't, like, do they not, like, surely Alexa Bliss revealing the tag team titles could have been that segment in itself. Why do they need to have Paul Heyman on it? Why waste Paul Heyman on that?
Or maybe have some of the people who are going to be contending for the tag team titles come out and get involved. I was a little bit disappointed we're not going to see any NXT talent involved, because Io Shirai and Kairi Sane tweeted a photo of the two of them being like, we're coming for those titles. And I'm like, that's a team
that's
that
something
I am
I want to see.
Desperate to see. But it's going to be only Raw and SmackDown people, apparently. I think they're going to put it on Sasha. They're either going to put it on Sasha and Bayley, or they're finally going to pull the have them feud properly, not just tease it and go on by having one screw the other over in that match and then have those two face.
I think that's more likely. I think that they'll final there is of this, I don't mean the tournament or whatever, however it's going to play out, I think that Bayley and Sasha will be involved, but they won't win. That'd be my opinion.
Who do you think is going to... I don't know who's going to win. Like, I actually don't...
I'd really like it to be someone like the Iconics, or someone who needs to be taken seriously, and you know, it really, it's hard to say what the teams are. Like, you know, like Oscar and Naomi, that's not a team for me.
Tamina and Nia Jax.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't actually be surprised if they won it. I really wouldn't.
Ugh, I have literally no interest in that.
Thank you.
No.
So that's one of the backstage things. I did have one other thing to bring up. Why can nobody on Raw or SmackDown watch a TV properly?
They always watch it side on.
Yeah.
Like, who has ever watched the TV? Like, we have in our front room, we've got our TVs mounted to the wall, a bit like the one that's behind you now, and it tilts. It's on like a pivot. And my wife's really funny about I don't mind being at a bit of an angle from it, but if she's on one of the sofas, she wants it like tilted a bit towards her. She likes to have it properly face on. I'm like, if you watched wrestling, you'd get so angry because they're practically like watching it in their peripheral vision. Yeah. Like, what is?
It's like on a phone advert. Whenever there's anyone on a phone, it's not a phone advert. It's on one of those chat. You know, they have chat lines. You know, talk to a hot guy or girl.
No, I don't. But yeah,
you see them. Oh, I don't. I've not called them for a while, but you see them. They don't hold the phone next to their ear. They hold it like that. Yeah. So everyone knows it's a phone. Like, no one knows what a person with a phone next to their ear looks like if they don't hold the phone face onto the camera.
And then
they wobble the phone, don't they?
Yeah. I'm a really big fan of when you get people like in real life doing the apprentice phone thing. So when they hold the phone, put it on speakerphone and hold it at the bottom of the phone to their mouth like that. Like, I've only ever seen anyone do that on The Apprentice in my life.
Biggest criticism of Luther over Christmas, right? Every time they're on the phone, everyone knows what it looks like. Right? Everyone's got a mobile phone. You know when you're on the main screen, I'm just demonstrating to the guys here.
You're doing
an iPhone.
Swipe up or
you got like the screen here with the numbers on it, right?
Oh yeah.
When you've got John Luther on the phone and the screen isn't black, it's just that. He's not on the phone. And people can see it. You know what they should do is they should just turn the phone off so it's black.
It's true.
But and every scene in Luther, like, are they mad?
I love it. It's the little things that annoy you, isn't it?
I hate detail that's wrong.
But at the same time, if we're going to be positive about the backstage stuff, the gift that I put out last night from SmackDown, honestly, there is nobody better in the whole business at knowing about the nuance of little bits of character that you so often you see those backstage segments, and if somebody's not talking into the mic, if somebody's not involved in the action in that moment, they just stood there blankly staring at what's happening. Xavier Woods is amazing at, like, sometimes when they're doing like those segments with the pancakes, and it'll be like Big E's interacting with someone, and Xavier Woods not in any way involved, but he's just putting some pancakes on a plate and ladling it with syrup, and he's like actually doing something like a normal human would.
I love Big E so much. Did anyone see the other week when he was there, you know, Shane McMahon? It was just after the announcement, right? And Shane's got all the troops there, and he's telling them how it's all going to shake out, how things are going to play down. And Daniel Bryan's standing there, fresh off his change of gimmick, where he's talking about how people eat crap and all that stuff.
Which I'm loving, by the way.
And Big E is standing right next to him, just chomping down a steak. A steak in hand, literally. And he's just eyeing Daniel Bryan, who catches a glance at him. And you have to imagine, he's absolutely trying his best to not crack up.
And I just think, like, I think that's why you've seen those guys. Yeah, you know, they have their interactions with guys like the Bullet Club or now the Elite, and they do all those video game stuff with them. Because I think they probably recognise that they get that stuff, and that's why they'd be good for bringing along to those events. But the point I was making was that there was that weird segment with, like, the show started with Becky Lynch backstage doing an interview and then coming out to talk about being the man again. Good promo and everything, but there was that weird bit where you had the guys from, the same guys who...
Yeah, Heavy Machinery.
Yes. Heavy Machinery, making a milkshake out of, like, throwing, like, raw eggs into it and throwing, like, all sorts of weird protein stuff into it. And then, like, they were joking about drinking it, and then Becky Lynch came over, snatched it off them, took a massive glug of this horrible concoction, yeah, and then stormed off the thing, which was superb. But as she did it, as she grabbed it off them, Xavier Woods just unzipped his hoodie to show that he was wearing a The Man t-shirt underneath, and it is the most beautiful timing. It just worked so well. I loved it so much, and I was just like, I want more of that, please.
I also like you mentioning the Elite there, sorry to John, but have we spoke about Omega? Have we spoke about the offers and the overtures and what we think he's going to be doing?
No, because that'll be coming up in the AEW special that's released tomorrow.
Do you not? It's a segue,
mate.
It's a beautiful
don't
segue.
Use terminology. We're people of the people.
I do ask Hangman about Kenny, and he predictably gives me a non-answer, but apologises for giving me a non-answer. Yeah. He kind of goes, "I'm really
sometimes
sorry.
That's quite a telling answer.
I don't want to give you I wish I could tell you more, but I can't at the moment." And
it's like when I spoke to Finn Balor at the Performance Centre, and he did a big old thing about, "Oh, wouldn't it be good to see the Demon King against the Beast at Royal Rumble?" And then obviously on Raw, I have to say, as soon as they announced that Braun Strowman wouldn't be in the main event after, I mean, they did that in a decent enough way.
Yeah.
There have been people saying that AJ Styles beat up Vince McMahon, got a title shot, whereas Braun Strowman trashed his car and got fired, well, not fired, but removed from a match. How does that make any sense?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Maybe,
and find $1,000 kayfabe dollars, of course, as well.
And Vince.
$100,000, sorry. Nonetheless.
Vince obviously takes damage to his...
Doing my best, Dr. Evil, sorry.
And But then as soon as you saw that Finn Balor was going to have to go through not one but two people, you know he's going to win.
Oh,
don't
how's
you?
He going to get through Jinder Mahal?
Oh no,
never know. And they and you need to know the commentators are billing it as, well, you know, Jinder's someone to be taken seriously. He's a former WWE champ, guys. Don't worry about the fact that he's been getting stomped on for the last 6 months.
It's just silly, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, also, is it worth noting on Raw of Sasha Banks and Ronda Rousey teaming up? Eerily reminiscent of Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles teaming up against the Usos and then falling out afterwards. I mean, to me, like, this whole snap in Sasha, as it were, giving her this edge because Rousey is supposedly, you know, she lost her cool because Rousey said she was going to tap her out. I mean, what else do you expect her to say? But really, when you look at the Raw Women's Division, is there anyone else that it really could have been?
I know. Again, my friend Ryan was watching it with me, and he was going, "Hang on a minute," because he's not quite. He watches it as like someone who doesn't really watch it. He went, yeah. "But they're fighting each other. Why are they a tag team?" And I went, "Just watch, just because I found it very predictable." I'm like, "You watch, they'll do so. You here it is, there it is, and then they fall out." And it's just, I don't know.
But you know what? It was the best I've seen Sasha talk in ring, maybe ever. And it was a knock against the four wrestling horsewomen when they first came up that they weren't great talkers as a group. And then actually now you've got Sasha now cuts a good promo. Charlotte cuts a great promo. Obviously, Becky Lynch is the man, and we don't need to, you know, reinforce how amazing she's been over the last 6 months. Really, the only one whose character needs refining or sorting out is Bayley. And my only problem with that is this back and forth with Sasha hasn't made any sense. Is she going to snap, or is she going to keep being the hugger and doing that kind of gimmick?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like her to be the one who turns out of the two, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But you know, when it comes to Bayley, I would love someone to tell me how many six women tag matches she's been in.
Oh my
the past
God.
Year. It's ridiculous.
Over 50% of her matches.
Yeah,
are
yeah, really, it is
six men.
And how is she meant to make any kind of progress or, you know, get any tread on her tires while she's stuck doing that? I'd love to know the percentage of the amount of time she's faced the Riot Squad. It's literally unbelievable at this point.
I mean,
maybe,
we're going to see.
Maybe they'll win the tag titles. Should we hear from Sasha Banks? Because it would make sense to go in here.
I caught up with Sasha on a conference call on Monday night. So this is before the Rousey segment. And we discussed what the last year has been like for her. A little bit about Trish Stratus and Lita at Evolution. And a little bit about the Boss and Hug connection. So we might as well get on to that.
Thank you for talking to us tonight, Sasha.
Yeah.
You've kind of touched on it a little bit, how you've been out of the title picture for a while. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, your last one-on-one title shot was, title match, I should say, was with Alexa Bliss in August 2017. So I know that you know, as someone who prides themselves on being the best, has there been any frustration at all on the journey to finally getting your date with Ronda Rousey? And was that something you eyed from the minute she came in the company?
For me, I think frustration is what you need to strive you to get better and to push forward. And, you know, just you have to fail to succeed. And you can't be at the top because there's nowhere else to go. If you're just at the top, you're just going to get stagnant. You're going to stay there. You're never going to learn. You're never going to grow. And for me, this year or last year speaking, I went through a roller coaster of a career. But I feel like the most accomplished that I felt is hearing Vince McMahon say himself that women's tag team titles are coming. You know, I wasn't getting used in the title picture, so I found a different focus. I found a different goal. I worked so hard on my craft. I worked hard to be the best singles wrestler. Now I'm working hard to be the best tag team wrestler that I can. And to hear Vince McMahon say that there's going to be women's tag team titles, I think for me, you know, I cannot be frustration because it's accomplishing more. It's focusing on a dream and saying something and believing in it so much that you will do everything you can to possibly do to achieve this goal. So for me, yes, I was frustrated, but I got everything that I wanted at the same time. So it's just cool starting 2019, going into a title picture and hearing that the women's tag team titles are coming. So it's, for me, my goal right now is to be double champion. I want to be the Raw Women's Championship and the first ever women's tag team champion. So there's many goals to look forward to in 2019, and you know, frustration is just going to make me better. It's going to make me hungrier, and I'm ready to succeed.
For sure. And you talk about the tag team picture, and obviously you and Bayley make the Boss and Hug connection. It seems a very obvious nod to the Rock and Sock connection. Is there any reason? Was it just a cool name, or were they a favourite tag team of yours? why above everyone else?
one of our favorites is the Hardy Boys, but we didn't want to be, you know, the Hardy Girls. So yeah, of course, we also looked up to The Rock and, you know, Mick Foley. So I just think it's a name that kind of clicked for myself and Bailey's characters, and I think it's a cool name. So it's kind of like keeping the legacy alive within wrestling and letting everyone know we're such super fans, and you know, this is the Real Deal Tag Team Women's Championships right now, and we're the Real Deal Tag Teams, and we're looking forward to the future.
I haven't had a chance to speak to you either since Evolution, and then obviously the next night on Raw, you had the pleasure of working Trish and Lita and being in the same match as them. Just a quick one, really, on how much that meant to you, and what you just mentioned what a super fan you were. You know, break that down for us.
Yeah, I was so excited. I felt like a kid all over again, because Trish and Lita didn't have to stay to the next day. They wanted to stay just to work and team with me and Bailey, and I cannot even fathom like how amazing that is. It's so insane growing up and watching these people on TV, but to have the opportunity to work with them and talk to them, and for them to share their stories and to share our stories with them, it's so beautiful. And it almost kind of felt like it was like passing the torch down in a way, but I had absolutely the biggest smile when I heard Trish and Lita's music, and when I found out that I was teaming with them. It was a legit dream come true. And it's going to be one of my top memories of last year. It was such an honor.
Did they say anything to you after the match about how much they enjoyed it, what they thought of you, anything like that?
They told me a lot of things that I like to keep to myself, but it's always, you know, striving for your dream and never giving up, pretty much.
I can totally understand that. Thank you very much for your time tonight, Sasha.
Thank you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Third podcast, Alex. Already speaking to Sasha Banks.
I know.
You're doing all right for yourself, aren't you?
I mean, since I've come on board with you guys, it's like a pseudo-rocket strap, as Edge and Christian would call it, you know? Can't stop getting these hot takes. Who knows?
We'll bury you eventually. Other things to talk about. I know Will wants to talk about Andrade.
Well, I just wanted to, in SmackDown in general, because from the men's side of things, you had that segment with where AJ Styles came out just as it looked like things were going to kick off between Becky Lynch and Asuka. His music hits, he comes out to the ring, walks around the ring whilst...
No hoodie,
but the hair did a pretty good job of still doing the little arm pop-up thing that he does as he comes out. More arm things. He walks around the ring, kind of acknowledges that Asuka's there, then jumps over the barrier and walks out of the arena via one of the exits, and then starts handing out his t-shirts to people at a merch stand where Daniel Bryan attacks him and puts him through a table full of hot dogs, which I don't know if it was meant to be a table full of hot dogs, but I love the fact that that ties in with the kind of Daniel Bryan vegan waste thing, all of that. I hope so. There was mustard everywhere, and it was fantastic, but it was weird as well.
As soon as he went towards, we obviously obviously knew he was going to go out of the into the foyer and go to the merch stand. I thought there was a reason he wasn't wearing his hoodie, that he was going to buy his own hoodie. Oh. I don't know what sense that would have made, and I don't know why it would have happened, but as soon, I just put two and two together.
Post entrance.
I like small detail, as I've just said, and it didn't happen. The match I enjoyed the most on SmackDown was Rey Mysterio versus Andrade. Don't say Cien Almas.
No.
They put on a pretty amazing job of things in the tag match the week before when they were in the ring together. There were a couple of spots that just went really viral, and it's the best condition I've seen Rey Mysterio in probably in 5 or 6 years, and working with someone who so gets his style in Andrade. And then they put on, for TV, easily like a 4-star match, a 3/4 chub match. It was brilliant.
I was watching that thinking that this could be like a special event match, really. There was one bit where Ray did this really cool like DDT type thing, except I'm not entirely sure if Andrade realised that he took the hit, because it was quite a complex like mid-air DDT reversal type thing, and he kind of sat up like he'd just done the hit and then went, oh no, I took that one, didn't I, and then lay back down. And it was a bit, that was the only thing that I could criticise from that match. It was very entertaining otherwise.
And then we had The Miz against Sheamus, which was fine. I mean,
now I'd switched off from this. Is Miz like still trying to team up with Shane McMahon?
Not trying to. Is
yeah. Right,
they have a tag title shot.
Fantasy
at the Royal
book
Rumble.
This one, Will. Is this a part of the way to make The Miz good by him then eventually, let's say, taking on Shane McMahon at WrestleMania? Is that what's going to happen here?
I think that's 100% what's going to
happen. Shane McMahon's going to have enough of The Miz and kick his A.
But then, you know, who's meant to be the face and heel? I'm assuming Shane is the bad guy in that scenario.
It feels like they've been moving him in that direction ever since he won the best in the world thing.
But is there really a clamour for The Miz to be a babyface? I think he's exponentially better as a heel. So why would you mess with that formula? I don't think the fans are crying out for a babyface Miz.
No, but I did like... I hated the match. The match was just dull. But the ending, when you were talking about them teaming up, so he throws a birthday party for Shane.
Right.
So there's cake in the ring. At the end, the Miz gets the skull-crushing finale, then Shane drags Sheamus into the corner to set up for the coast-to-coast. And
but not just any coast-to-coast.
Oh, yeah, not just any coast-to-coast. A top tier of the birthday cake to the face coast-to-coast as Miz holds the top tier of the birthday cake between Shane McMahon and... see, I'm laughing about it.
Yeah.
So obviously it had the right effect.
And Sheamus will sell that.
He really did. But we heard from Sasha and we were talking women's wrestling. That was more the stuff I wanted to talk about, because across both shows, there were a couple of weird women's bits.
Yes.
There was the Alexa Bliss topless moment where ahead of the moment of Bliss, somebody burst into her dressing room and she was topless and like was asking, did you knock on it? Totally. What was that even doing there?
I mean, you have to look at it like, you know, I feel in this day and age, obviously, you almost can barely say that the women are sexy. Like, it's almost like, oh, but they're great wrestlers. Yeah, okay, that they are.
Yeah.
But it doesn't detract from the fact that a lot of them are very attractive, right? And it's not like that comes on my screen and I'm like offended. I'm not, but it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, that is, you know, for me tuning in a wrestling show, someone has gone out of their way to book that. They've said, look, it's very important that we have a segment where somebody tries to go in Alexa Bliss's dressing room and she can clearly hear them because she's right there, but then she's got her back to them with her top off and then she says, yeah, I'll be out in a minute. Why? What did that add to anything?
And then when she comes out, she wasn't really wearing anything that was particularly revealing. She was wearing a completely different top to the one she was holding across her.
But again, look, why?
It's weird.
Look, why did they say we need to add a little bit to Alexa Bliss's character here or spice things up? I mean, did it? It didn't spice anything. It was... It was neither pushing any envelope or sensical.
I hated it, and then I don't like this Mandy nonsense with the Usos, and I just don't know where they're going with that.
I thought that was quite intriguing in the beginning.
So she gives her hotel room key to Us, and then to brother Jimmy or Jay, I can't remember which one is married to
Jimmy.
It's Jimmy. Definitely Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you. I can't remember.
And then he gets filmed walking to a hotel room, which, you know, if you were off to go and cheat on your wife, you probably wouldn't be. Well, you'd be like, hang on.
It's weird when Jay turns to Jimmy and goes, what are you going to do, Us? And he should say, well, I'm going to tell my wife, obviously. This is ridiculous.
It wasn't... Don't draw me in it, Jay.
Yeah, like they had a moment where a man genuinely, as the TV faded to black for the commercial, a man was considering whether or not to commit adultery.
Televised adultery.
Like his brother said, what are you going to do this time, Jimmy?
And I'm not really sure what it's setting up. Is it setting up something in the Rumble match? Do they just feel they need some more mid-card feuds with the women that aren't six women tag matches? I mean, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I just don't think you need to go back to this pre-Attitude Era, even during the Attitude Era, kind of bra and panties, Tori Wilson, all that nonsense.
I fell asleep again, so I'm assuming he went in the room and she was there, and I've seen a picture on Twitter of her in a robe and she obviously opened the robe. Why does she need to open the robe?
Just never open the robe.
It's already quite obvious why he's going to a hotel room, in theory. Mm. She doesn't need to open a robe. But then I saw a picture of a weird little cameraman, like a photographer. Was that real?
I mean, to me, the whole thing, like, it didn't work when they did it with Lana, Rusev, and Enzo. So why retread these?
And then with Aidan English as well.
Again.
Also, what's happened to Aidan English?
He's parts unknown. Oh. It just doesn't really make sense to me. I'm not against them having these storylines or even bringing a bit of sexuality into things because sex has historically always sold. I'm not saying base things around that, but you don't have to tread so lightly on things either that it's like, oh, we can't make these women sexy because, you know, that's really beating around the bush in a lot of ways because that's just what they are. But at the same time,
as the men are also sexy.
Yeah, well, yeah. To a lot of people, I mean, you know, that kind of
They're rubbing baby oil on their abs to look good.
But these
are
just
can't avoid that.
Yeah, but these are just bad stories. Like, it's got nothing to do with anything else other than the fact that they're bad. And like, Mandy Rose is clearly an extremely attractive woman. I can understand.
I'm really enjoying Alex desperately trying to dance around these things. It's really funny.
He's being so PC.
I'm trying to
you're more PC than the place we went to in North London on Friday.
Oh, can't say North London, John. You're giving too much away.
What are you doing? No, yeah. But that's what I mean. It's like I can understand the gimmick that she has, and I can even telegraph from here why Vince McMahon has played it that way. But I thought it was intriguing at the start with like suggestive, but now they've gone down a road what are you going to get out of it?
Guess what? Women can feud without there needing to be this element to it. And I don't like it when it's the other way around either. I don't like it when it's a love triangle. It just doesn't feel like it's in any way necessary and hasn't done for a while. But
like Christian Jericho and Trish 04.
I would say that Matt, Edge and Lita.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I've actually believed in because it had that element of reality in it, yeah. Let's talk about Bobby Lashley winning the Intercontinental title.
I thought we were done, but ooh.
We're not done, mate. We're far from done.
So,
what's his nickname now? Bobby Lashley.
What?
He's got a nickname now. They kept calling it. They were doing that thing where they obviously want the nickname to stick.
Oh, you mean like the way they keep calling it the Royal Rumble event?
Oh, yeah.
It's no longer the Royal Rumble. It's another classic Vince McMahon. I don't like the name of that anymore. Like saying belts instead of titles and saying so.
Can't call it strap anymore.
They keep saying Royal, like constantly. They're going to be facing off at the Royal Rumble event. Like instead of saying the Royal Rumble,
wasn't Bobby Lashley formerly known as the Dominator?
In my mind, said to him at one point, "Oh, when you say they're competing at the Royal Rumble, in my mind that makes it sound like they're fighting off in the actual Royal Rumble match." Oh well, we need to change that. Immediately decides to change it, and now it's the Royal Rumble event.
Bobby
Did
Lashley,
I feel well?
Formerly known as the Dominator, is now called the Almighty.
what you mean when Leo Rush is instructing him to show everyone his arse, and he's going, "Look at the Almighty, Bobby Lashley." Like,
also, quickly, while we're talking about arses, Will, you noticed this, the revival with the hashtag.
This was actually in last week's show. The revival had on their trunks hashtag FTR, as in the revival, as in that long-running joke from Being the Elite, as in, are you heading off to AEW? Maybe. Why was that ever signed off? That was ridiculous.
And that was still there this week as well.
Oh, was it that? Yeah.
It was still there this week.
There
anyway, back to Bobby Lashley. So he's obviously won, spoiler alert, he's won the Intercontinental title from Dean Ambrose. I think the reason for that is that Seth Rollins looks to be the guy that's going to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And there was talk this week that EC3 will be up against Dean Ambrose.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that feud. I'm not the biggest fan of the development of Dean Ambrose's character. I was thinking about this the other day. I think that Pete Dunne, the way he plays off the being a face with the crowd but never doing any face-like behaviour and just being willing to do anything it takes to win. It feels like he is what they want Ambrose to be, and Ambrose just doesn't have the charisma to carry that off.
No, I felt like maybe it might have been too obvious, but Dean Ambrose should have just played the unstable, absolutely crazy. You know, the guy that people knew as John Moxley, like that. Really, that would have fared better.
Bloke Nikki Cross.
Yeah, than this... Look at my new coat.
But also,
I'm Bane.
Yeah.
Don't you find...
I was born in the darkness.
You know, basically what he is like Bane if they made a television version of the Batman films.
He's Bane from the Gotham TV series.
Exactly.
He's that version
but
of
then
Bane.
Also, you've still got the issue with the fact he's married to one of the commentators, and it just doesn't work.
I've said this many times on Twitter that I don't feel like that makes much sense at all.
It still doesn't. I don't know if they've got a plan.
And then when the commentators kind of press...
When they reference
Young
it,
on it,
it's weird.
She's very, like, almost doesn't know how to answer it. And it's just like, well, what does this even mean? Like, they should have probably turned her or made her look more mysterious when he turned. So make it obvious that she does know, but she's just not going to tell you.
Or have an angle where he's lost it and like he's moved out. Or
yeah.
Like, and she's like, you know, she only sees him at the tapings and she's like, or whatever.
Just be like, you know, oh, no, he won't tell me anything. Just make out he's gone off to, you know, they're barely talking or... You know, or intentionally be like, no, that's my husband. I'm not going to tell you what I know. But it's just all this.
It's a kind of half answer.
Like, oh,
yeah,
he doesn't really tell me. Like, I'm sure he does.
And the other thing is that
I've seen you two together backstage. You clearly have a very loving relationship. Yeah.
And weird thing is that they've tried to make him look like this sort of new character. But when he takes his coat off, which is the only real thing they've added to it, the only other thing that is different from his previous character is he's got a very very thin gold chain around his neck.
Yeah,
just is that the sign of
slightly
someone,
bigger arms?
Is that the sign
it.
Sign of
he's
someone
gonna
being
start, he's
going
to start wearing a sovereign ring from Argos.
Because if that's the case, go and watch any South London football team and they all look like Dean Ambrose does now.
Yeah. My feeling on this match overall was it was actually a really good match. Mm-hmm. I thought it was well laid out. I think that the whole having the two from the Shield join forces against Bobby Lashley, some people didn't like it because they've been feuding. I thought it was good to put Lashley over because he's such a monster that worst of foes had to overcome it to overcome him. And the belt was just doing nothing for Dean at all. The title wasn't helping him. It wasn't boosting him.
It
wasn't helping their feud.
From the moment at TLC that he wins it from Rollins, mm-hmm. from the moment that happened and then the news comes out that Vince McMahon was really not a fan of the match, as was the case with a lot of the WWE fans, pretty much it was doomed from there. Like, there was no kind of heat behind Ambrose's reign. You know, all the direction they had was that he had a problem with Rollins, really.
We talked about this not on pod because we weren't doing it during the NFL season. That's going to change now.
Yeah. We talked about it in life.
But we talked about it in life. And
real life.
That was maybe my least favourite match of the last 3 or 4 months. Because even though, if I went to an indie show and I saw two wrestlers of that quality put on that match and there was no storyline or anything behind it, I'd have enjoyed myself.
John Moxley versus Tyler Black.
Yeah. If it was that, then I would have been fine with it. But what they didn't do, and on the same night what you saw Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles do so brilliantly, was take everything that had happened in their feud so far and build it into the storyline of the match. So if these two truly hated each other, why have them just work a normal wrestling match? Why not have it go a little bit shoot and a little bit physical and a little bit kind of really get into that side of it? And it just frustrated the hell out of me. I got so bored.
I just wonder, me too. I mean, I just wonder if for fans as well, that we just had high expectations based on their last rivalry. I know that the shoes were on the other feet and Rollins was the heel at that point and Ambrose was the face, but I wonder if the bar was set so high. I remember their Money in the Bank clash was classic. Like, what were people expecting? Do you know what I mean? And whatever they were expecting, they certainly didn't get.
The big question is, now Bobby Lashley has the title, who is going to step up to be the first person to face him? Because I don't think
WWE have fought that far.
I don't have a clue.
I don't think they've thought as far ahead of next week's Raw, let alone...
Because
the point is, they don't have it defended at the Rumble. The Rumble is literally the title matches, the two Rumble matches, and there's something else in there already. But
I mean, with the bookies, Rollins is the clear favourite for the Rumble, and Drew McIntyre is a not so distant second, and then it's like... the last time I checked, Almas... Andrade, my apologies, was the third favourite with the bookies.
I can see why.
So, you know, you look at that and say it pretty much is a lock that Rollins is going to face Lesnar.
But that's what I mean. And what I'm saying is that these two guys are going to be moved away from the Intercontinental title, surely. Which means
where's Ambrose getting moved to is my question.
And where's it all going to fit? Does someone get called up from NXT? Who
a returning,
you know,
Bray Wyatt, maybe?
Possibly. Does someone get called up from NXT?
I like Bray, but I
does Velveteen Dream come and challenge for it?
Yeah.
Don't know if I'd want to see that.
I don't know about you guys. To me, Bray, like, if he just comes back in the same incarnation.
Oh, it needs to be completely
different. You know, he's pretty much travelled as far as he can with that.
You've also got Owens coming back. You've got Sami Zayn coming back.
Yes.
I mean, for me, I like the idea of those two coming back together and dominating the tag division for a bit. But
I have said that, William, and I'm very much behind that.
Very one of them could
the Raw tag division is weak and shallow.
Fellas,
as anything.
I should know this. Who's the Raw tag team champions right now?
Bobby and Chad.
Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. You wouldn't have seen them on this week's show, I don't believe.
No, there was no Bobby and there was no Chad.
No. I mean Bain, where were they?
They do sound like a rubbish.
Bobby and Chad sound like a rubbish Bobby 90s duo that had one hit that was quite popular when YouTube first came out.
Are you going to see my heartbreaking?
I mean, I would wonder how long they're going to keep those titles, and maybe are they saving them? Are they a placeholder until?
I think it's the same as Lashley, yeah.
Until,
like,
they come back,
they're people just holding on to belts for the sake of it.
I mean, I know we're going to speculate in terms of people from WWE that could go to AEW in the podcast, which will come out tomorrow. But I'll say it now. You know, someone like Bobby Roode.
Yeah,
100%. Would be someone that is would feel like they're being he's being wasted. So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Definitely.
This has been the Pro Wrestling Show, as ever, at Pro Wrestle Show on Twitter. You can follow us on YouTube. You can read TalkSport.com. Just search WWE on there. Tweet us your thoughts. Tweet us your fantasy bookings. Tweet us what you think of Will's chub ratings, of anything he mentions.
Just his chubs in general.
Yeah, just tweet us memes. Like, what? Just tweet us. Whatever. Tomorrow you will get an AEW What We Know So Far special. This has been the Pro Wrestling Show. I've been John Jackson. He's been Will Gavin.
Hello.
And he's been Alex McCarthy.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.